Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be when you're listening to this. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Your Collective. On today's episode, I'll be joined by my good friend, Monica Denikin-Scott, where she'll share her journey and the work that she's done over the last couple of years to have not only a astounding physical change, but a shift in her mental mindset and how she now approaches life. So without further delay, let's dive in. Thank you so much. Today on the episode, we have Monica Denikin-Scott, one of my oldest friends. I've known Monica for...
Ever?
Yeah.
Forever.
Like, easily over 20 years.
Oh, actually almost 30. I'm pretty sure. Actually, no, over 30, because I am 42 and I'm pretty sure that I met you when I was about 14. 13 or 14.
Okay, I was not trying to age myself like that.
I'm sorry, bitch.
I'm not trying to be so honest.
Okay, oh my God, we're old.
I mean, no. I don't use that kind of verbiage. I use wise. Okay. I'm wise.
We're mature, aging.
No, like, I don't use that kind of verbiage either.
I'm loving it. I do. My husband's like, you speak a lot of things into existence. I was like, my back. Okay, just that, like my back and my knees. That's all I have to say.
You know, for the folks that are listening today, one of the reasons why I felt it would be very valuable to have you join us is because you are genuinely one of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my entire life. I've always thought that you were one of the most beautiful people inside and out, regardless of how big you were, how small you were, whether you were wearing makeup, whether you weren't wearing makeup, whether you were being an absolute fucking bitch, or like, if you were being sweet as pie. I have always loved you.
I am really terrible at taking compliments, even though, like, I think I've been doing it my whole life really fakely. Like, now as an adult, really, like, taking in what people are saying to me and how they're blessing me with their words. It is such a phenomenal thing to hear how people feel about you. And it's funny because I mirrored that same feeling towards you. My whole life, I've always been like, when I get older, I just want to be like Charisse. You know, I just want to... Like Tamika, my cousin Tamika, and you and my mom are like the three women that I always put on this like pedestal of like, okay, like that's the level of maturity as a woman that I want to get to, that kind of grace, that type of like real, true, genuine, always, I'm a truth seeker by my nature, but trying to seek that, like that level of yourself that is the next level was something that I've always seen you do. And I've always admired it so much in you. And it actually really inspired so much of myself. And I think we all inspire each other without really knowing, you know, like my desire to like travel the world and like from such a young age and not be settled down anywhere. I feel like it's inspired so many of my sisters and friends to travel the world and do different things and not be stuck conventionally inside their little box of like what they thought their life was going to be. And so I think the coolest thing is genuinely seeing as an adult woman what I missed so easily when I was younger, you know, in the women that were around me and how important it is to actually honor how we view each other and how much we respect and love each other. You know, it's actually amazing. And I am so grateful to be here. You know, this journey for me has been amazing. Actually getting to speak in different platforms and share my story has been amazing. And also to like, who even am I? You know what I mean? For me to have the opportunity for so many people to hear what I have to say and to care about it, number one, and also to be able to inform people in such a way that it actually is influential is crazy to me. I have been honored in so many ways. Like, I'm not gonna get to talk to you about all of that this year. In so many different ways, I've been honored in the community in which I live in the Cayman Islands, but also just like on a global level, getting to take my experience and what I've been able to create and turn it into something that is a global brand and is making headway in huge ways. And I'm actually influencing the community in which I live, which is all I ever wanted to do. I think Canada, I was more of a small fish in a little bit of a bigger pond without really understanding what that meant. And now I am a bigger fish in a smaller pond. And all of the years of work that I put into all of those other environments is manifesting itself into some amazing, amazing, amazing things right now. So I'm just so grateful to get to share that with you. And also, I miss you. Like, genuinely from my heart, the hardest thing about choosing to live abroad, as you know, is that you don't get to have that connection with the people that you love, the way that we used to just like roll up on each other and go to each other's houses and pull up and coming over, gonna get some wine or whatever. And we don't have that, you know what I mean? And also too, I think as an adult, it's a lot easier to not communicate than it is to communicate. You know, doing your daily life starts to take over in a way that the selfishness of choosing your you becomes the way that you communicate with others too, which is selfishly. So I am sorry about that because selfishly, I've been taking a lot of time in the last few years to really get my shit together. And now that I have, I actually am committing myself, recommitting myself to better communication with my sisters, and I'm building some new friendships because a bitch is tired and bored.
I don't
Hi.
know that you need to apologize. I've equally done the same thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I remember the time that you've spent in Cayman, and then you came back, and then you went to Cayman, and then you came back, and then it was like, and I remember this last time when you went, you were like, it was the dark before the dawn. It was
Oh,
absolutely the dark before the dawn. And you were like, I'm just gonna come home. I'm like, don't you fucking dare. I'm
yeah.
like, do
Well,
not come home. You stay there.
you remember
Because
how upset
you,
I was that I called you?
I do remember. And I was like, you are beyond miserable in Edmonton, in
I hated
Canada.
it.
Like, there's nothing
Canada
there
is
for you. And I
nothing.
knew that there
Yeah.
was a lot there for you, obviously, friends and family. But the point was, is like, in my gut, in my being, I felt like you're almost there. Like you're like standing, you're like at that 1 yard line, and you're gonna try and like spike the ball here. Like you can't do it. So just stay. And aren't you glad you
Right.
did? Because literally right after that, like I think within nine, not even 90 days, but literally right around the corner, all this
Yeah.
amazingness started
Oh my God.
unfolding in your life. Like I think you were even
Yeah.
pinching yourself, like, oh my gosh, what's going
I
on? My
can't believe
life
it.
is just
Yeah.
amazing.
Like it's all happening. You know that line, it's all happening. And you're like, when I used to read people talk about like when the moment would happen in their life where it all just came together.
Starts to
I
flow.
didn't understand. Yes. And I also, you know what's funny? I think because I had that whole toxic black woman aggression, I had trained myself to be like, I can do bad all by myself. I'm a bad bitch. I got this. I can take care of myself. I can travel the world, and I've lived everywhere by myself, and I don't need no man, and all that stupidness. And I had convinced myself of that for such a long time that I didn't really think that love would be the thing that would change me, even though I believed that my love would be the thing that would change other people. It's just like
Well, love actually
hypocrisy.
needs to begin with yourself, right?
Yeah.
And I
And I
think
didn't
that's the
understand that
piece that
part.
was missing. Yeah, that was the
Oh, yeah.
piece that was
Genuinely.
missing.
I loved other
So,
people to the point of my own exhaustion, but I didn't love myself at all. Yeah. That's so
So
true.
for those listeners who don't know anything about you, why don't you give, a high level, I mean, your story. There's so many things that you can talk about, but
Oh, we could do
when
three
I
or
talk
four of
about,
these.
sorry?
We could do three or four of these if we wanted to really go there.
Exactly. So for those who don't know you, don't know your story, give us an overview, like who are you up to this
I.
point in the journey?
Well, I am a 42-year-old Nigerian, Canadian, American, mixed race butterfly. And I would consider myself a global citizen, although I was born in Canada. I don't really consider myself to be a Canadian that way. Like, I'm grateful for the passport, but my international swag is probably my claim to fame because I've just always been ready to move. I am a master stylist and licensed trichologist. I have been doing hair for about 30 years. I am an extroverted introvert, I think, or an introverted extrovert. I don't know how to describe myself except that I like to be extroverted at work and all that kind of stuff, but I'm a little bit more reserved at home kind of vibes. But I am Just this journey of exploration of self. I've been on a weight loss journey for the last, I would say, 42 years. Just joking, just joking. Really, over the last 5 years, I, did a lot of different things. I tried keto and paleo and carnivore and all the diets. And I think I got kind of stuck around 2019 in keto and doing intermittent fasting and stuff. And I had been on this journey of, PCOS with people call it PCOS and stuff like that, but polycystic ovarian syndrome. I had been on a weight loss journey over the last, 3 years or so, very consistently. I decided to take my life into my own hands and change my life. So I have been on a weight loss journey and I've lost about 250 pounds. And so in thank you, sister. I really appreciate the support. Honestly, it's taken a lot to do it. I think the level of commitment that it takes to really give your life back to yourself is something that people don't really talk about very much. And so I've just been on this amazing journey of self-discovery of what it means to be the pretty people, what it means to live in skinny privilege, because that is something that definitely exists. And what it means to exist in this body as the person I always was, but never got to present, and presenting as my natural, real self, what that actually feels like. And I think I better understand transgenders and like people who exist in that plane of feeling dysmorphic because I've had this experience. So I just am taking this opportunity to share my journey really openly and honestly through IVF, through just like trying to do geriatric pregnancy, while not feeling geriatric in any way, shape, or form. I believe Benjamin Buttoning myself. So this has just been a remarkable experience. And I want to share my journey with other people so that I can help people not give up on themselves.
I'm going to ask you a question that maybe seems obvious, but again, remember I started this by saying, I always thought you were beautiful. In conversations, you've definitely said to me, like, you never told me I was a fat bitch. I'm like, I didn't see your size.
I wish you
I
would.
did not see it.
Oh my
I did
God,
not
no.
see. Okay, let me not be completely ignorant and be like, okay, I thought you were teeny tiny, like size zero. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I always saw beyond that. I always saw you.
Yeah, you saw my
Yes, I
person.
always saw beyond that. It didn't define you. And in my mind, I was, so when you talk about disconnect, are you legit saying
Yeah.
that like what was that like?
I am still looking at my, when I look at myself, like even in the viewfinder right now, like I have you big and me small, and I'm just like staring at myself in the thing and I'm like, who is that? Like, it's weird for me. I think the thing about being able to look back, like when you look at yourself in your past, you get to look back and you see a younger version of yourself, right? And like that's it, because you're not fatter. I mean, maybe within like a couple of pounds, you because you've had children and stuff like that. You are a little bit bigger, but you don't really like, you look the exact same. Like when I look at you, I see you, right? I've always seen you, the your genuine spirit, everything has always manifested itself and looked exactly the same. And your soul, even though it's gotten more mature over the years, you were always an old soul. You always, even at 19, this charity existed. And you were our like rock stone, like every single one of us in the in our friend group and in all of your friend groups, and how many different friend groups you had. Like it's crazy to me to actually think about the fact that you've always been such the exact same person. Like, and I can say that with all honesty, like
Thank
as much
you.
as you've changed and metamorphosized and grown, it's been on a spiritual level. It's been athletically, like I watched you go. Remember the time when you were like four, you were doing like the like 45 hard, but that was like your entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've always been a go hard, like you know what I mean. And I would like sit back and watch people like you and be like, oh, she's that's crazy that she really can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym twice in a day, and raise all these children and do all these things, and plus working and doing all these things. I thought you were, I thought you were crazy. And now, while I'm doing the same things, I'm living very much the same life. old me could have never conceptualized that that would have been a thing or even a possibility, because I used to honor that in you so much. I admired it, but it was also a thing that made me like go the other direction, because I was like so ambivalent towards what that meant and how much hard work it meant to really commit myself to living my life like that. And watching you and Mike be such hard go-getters and stuff like that was just, it was disgusting to me at that point in my life. I was just like, why would they do such hard work? Like, I don't understand. Like, we're young.
What are they doing with themselves? Why?
Yeah, I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, why aren't we going out to party? You're like, no, I gotta sleep. I gotta get my rejuvenation. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I was like, oh my God. Like, Sharidi is living an adult life when we were like kids, right? Like, from a very young age. You're not 19, you're a mom. Like, you were already doing all the things with Anthony. And like, I was just looking at you at 15 years old, like, this bitch is crazy. Like, she's amazing. And now, and even when you had the twins, like, I just watched you be a single mom and a full-time, like, everything. And like, I lived in awe of you at that time, you know, and I think like looking back,
it's just one of those things though, that you just, you do what you need to do when you have to do it. And the reality is no, I think, sure,
I do think that I agree with you, but you're extra level. Like, I don't know if people like, if like, I wish in your, I've watched a couple of your podcasts now, and like, I love that you focus on the people that are on your show, but like, the reason why we're all on your show is because of you, right? And like, what you mean to all of us who we interact with you and get to know you and like really love you. But like, you're the rock. Like, you're the stone. Like, I'm telling you, I don't really admire anybody. Like, my mom, yes, and like a few other, there's no, like, I don't have admiration or idolatry towards people. But when I really go back in my mind and think about women who have an indelible impact on my life and have actually shaped and inspired who I am now, watching your journey has been one of the things that has been the most inspirational things. And even though I watch you fuck up, like, I am like, sis, you've watched me do the exact same things. And like, I think it's really cool to be able to look back and be like, wow, like, old me was 500 pounds and didn't see myself. I never even knew I was fat, because inside I was always this me. So I don't know how to explain that to people, but I think I'm going to try and use this opportunity while I have this platform to explain dysmorphic thinking to people a little bit more, so people can understand that I was always this Monica inside. The outside was like encased in trauma and generational curses and a lot of stigma, and also a lot of like self, like prophesy. Like, I created that. I bad-mind myself into being a giant Michelin man. And while I did that, I enjoyed all of the, like, in Nigeria, they call this thing obolobo. You know, when they obo, they like the guy, when you have a big oga, like, he's just a big fat, he's eating, you know, he's just a big, yeah. And like, there's this thing in Nigeria, like, when you're fat, it means you're eating well, it means you're rich, you know, you've done well, look at you, fat. You know, but like, in reality, in Nigerian society, they don't really like it when you're fat. They, like, as much as they will allow you to be plus size and they don't really say anything, it's better for you to look like a woman of stature, right? And I went to Nigeria. The one thing that was very interesting for me was that I didn't stand out anymore. Yeah. Like, for the first time my entire life, I was just like everybody else. Like, I looked like my regular Nigerian sisters. I was in the mall and I was looking, I was not extra. You know, like, my extraness was not extra in any way, in terms of, yeah, my loudness. Yeah, I wasn't even loud in Nigeria. I was quiet. Like, I compared to the loudness of my other Nigerians, I was so quiet. And so what I realized is, like, where I am and where I'm from and all the things that sort of have made up this journey is such an interesting thing, because I don't think I see myself the way other people see me, and I don't think I ever did. But hearing you say what you've said, my daughter, my husband, everybody else who's ever known me before told me that they never saw me as fat. They always just saw my inside. And my sister told me that when she saw me for the first time in 6 years, she said that it didn't feel like she was meeting me for the first time again, because who I was on the inside has always been who she saw. So she never saw the fat.
That's how you know those are the people that really love you. And I almost want to cry about it, because like, I when you can see someone, like genuinely see them, love them, and know that you do, know that it doesn't matter how, like, because there was a lot of that that people would get from you, like this just vitriol. There's no other word for it. Like, you were so angry and you were so hurt and you were so many things, and it didn't matter. Yeah. Like, for me, you could direct it at me. And you didn't often, but when you did, I was just like, okay, I know she's not mad at me. I'm gonna leave you.
No,
you're gonna do your thing.
Not at the world. But I,
yeah, I know. But and that's the point that I'm getting at is, like, at this point now, you know those people who, like, really loved you. They loved you. They loved your soul. Yeah. You're who you are at your core. It didn't matter. It didn't make any difference. And so when I say to you, like, I'm genuinely so happy for you, even now I can feel my heart center just glowing. I am so happy for all the blessings that have come into your world. I don't know anybody who deserves it more than you do, because you are the person who will give somebody the shirt off your back. And so, thank you.
100%. I actually do it quite often.
Thank you. So
I love you. Honestly,
I know that the body transformation has been one piece. But
the soul transformation has been the bigger
piece. So let's talk about your soul transformation. Because the one thing that you and I talked maybe a week, 10 days ago, and the one thing that you've always had was your
confidence.
Faith.
Yeah, my faith. Yeah. Oh, that too. Confidence and faith. Those were two things that I have always had in spades, which is really interesting. And I think that God has always given me the confidence to be the way that I am. But my faith has been the thing that has been the cornerstone of my success. And the reason why I think people fall in love with me as instantly as they meet me is because they see the God in me, you know. And I think that is the thing I've always told everybody. I'm like, if you like me, it's because you like God and you just don't know it. And for all of my friends that were were spiritual but not religious and stuff like that, I always wanted to hearken them to look at me and see that I drink Hennessy. Like, I just told you when we first started this podcast, I'm like, I'm hungover today. Like, I'm hungover. Okay. I got to bed at 2 a.m. I was dancing at 2 a.m. It's now 7:40, okay, or whatever time. I was dancing. So I, like, when I think about, like, the fact that we look at Christians or women who have faith and they're supposed to be pious and observant and ritualistic and all these things, but we're not supposed to be outspoken or brash or sexy or informed or any of those other things, you know, that we are. It really took me away from being a super religious person and, like, going to church every Sunday to having church with myself and trying to better understand myself spiritually, because I have definitely been on a journey with God for many, many years, with him showing me myself and me being like, you're wrong. I'm going to do it over here this way. And Lord, I'm going to prove you're wrong. Hey, Jesus, because you just don't know what you're talking about. And I did that for many years. And like, relationship wise, I think that because I had chosen so many bad partners in the past and never really listened to God in terms of that, that all of those relationships were so distracting from whatever path God was really trying to send me on, that I had to take the long road around. And I think it's because we don't see our life be linear. You know, we don't see our life in a straight line. God does. He sees everything around every corner, and he can, you know, he maps it out so he can help us get around those things. But because we don't see around the corners, we have to really trust God around those corners when we can't see and to get to this next straight, you know. And for me, trusting God has been something that I've had to do, you know, through losing Carlos, through every, like, thing that I've been through in my life. Every major hurdle was either something that I created for myself that I had to then get over, or I had to experience in order to understand myself better now and to be able to really honor the woman that I am now and not judge her for her past mistakes, because I don't actually think I made any. I feel like every single thing that I ever did in this journey led me here, and I'm so grateful because blessings are finding me here. You know, blessings are finding me in this moment. And so, because I trusted God every single place, every single time he told me to go, every time that God said, okay, get on the flight, every single time that God said, okay, this is this, go take this work permit, go do this thing. And I was like, I am being treated terribly here. They are racist. The people are mean. There's all these things. And I want to go and travel further. And I want to go to Africa. And I want to go all these places. And I want to do all these things. And I'm going to live in Bora Bora. And then you tell God your plans and he just laughs at you, you know? And now I look at my married life, my successful, you know, business and all these things that I'm building and my brand and all that stuff. And I think I thought I was supposed to have that at 22. You know, I believed that I was supposed to be famous and have this brand and have my own hair products and do all these things and be a teacher. And I started trying to teach when I was 21. I started writing books when I was 21. You know, I started writing my story, my memoir, thinking that my life was good and told and I knew everything by the time I was 20. And now looking back, I'm like, I'm so grateful to God that he took me on this journey and allowed me to get here so that at 42, as a successful Black woman existing in this plane, I can not only be a great representative of what God can do, but also who God is in my life. Because,
You know, I just want to pause for a second. Sorry. I just want to interrupt you because I think it's important to, there's something that you said that I don't want to lose track of. And that was, we talk about mistakes. And you said, well, I don't really think, somebody actually asked me recently, like, do you regret anything? And I'm like, nope. I thought for a moment, I did think for about one moment. And I was like, let me see if I've never really thought that I've regretted anything. But I did honor the question by saying, okay, let me actually think if I actually or feel in my body, if there's something that comes up that's like, you know, regret. And so I took a moment and I was like, no, I actually don't have a single regret because it is my genuine thought and my genuine belief. And I'm so glad that you talked about there aren't any mistakes because there's the idea that, yes, there's God, but at the same time, we have free will. And part of free will is having this experience. And I guess it depends on what you actually think your relation to God is, right? There are people that say, I am God, I am God-like, you call yourself a goddess. People would, you know, tar and feather Kanye for saying, I am God. And I'm like, well, you know, he's actually kind of ahead of his time because like, if you think about it, if we were created in the likeness of God, then why wouldn't I be a God-like? Why wouldn't that mean that I can create whatever? Sure. But the point being is I have the power to create my life exactly as I desire in co-creation. No, I'm not saying that I do it by myself. I'm saying in co-creation. Exactly. So if that's the case, then everything that comes up that I do not enjoy means that I must have wanted to experience that on some level or had a limiting belief on some level or there's a story on loop on some level that we are. Exactly. Right. So, and I wanted to go back to it because I think it's such an important thing that you are someone who believes in God, is very Christian, and you're sitting here saying, like, I am in co-creation 100%. Of my experience with God, and you're giving it up to God every single day, but certainly owning your part God, in I manifested that experience.
This. In co-creation with God and the universe, I think what people don't really understand is how powerful words are. Right. And I didn't either because I used to, what you said, what really, I have to honor something that you said to me earlier and validate what you said.
I had to snap on that because I am big on verbiage. You heard me say, I'm not old, I'm wise.
And what I had to snap back to you and say was that in all of the things that I have experienced in my life and everything that has brought me here, when people talk about me, a lot of the time they talk about old me, they talk about how angry I used to be. You know, I remember when I was younger, I used to be so upset with my mom or anybody who would bring up my past and share stories about me being miserable or mean or whatever. Even when I was with Kavitha and Jessica, I got into a couple arguments with them because they kept trying to, they're very nostalgic in their personalities. And my sister especially is extremely nostalgic and she likes to live in the past. So she brings up everything from the past, whether negative or positive, and throws it at you. All of the time in constant conversation. And I don't live in the past in any way, shape, or form in my life. I use it to be a measuring stick of where I'm at, but I never, ever go back to it. And so being around somebody who's constantly in their past is such a hard thing for me. And I didn't realize how much or why it triggered me when I was younger for people. I thought it was an insult for people to bring up my past and judge me by it. Or I felt like they were judging me by it, even though they're just using it as a measuring stick to how far I've come or whatever. Well, a lot of the people don't like to let you live outside of your box. You know, and I think what that limiting belief, what you are speaking about, a lot of times people put limiting beliefs on you and you take ownership of those things. So somebody will say to you, you know, you're so this way. You're such a this. You're such a, you know, and people like put a lot of things on you and you take those things on as your personality traits. Oh, I am that way. I am that. I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm this way. I am this, so I am that. And numerology wise, or like Sagittarius with this moon rising or whatever, God gave us all of the ability to understand those things so we can understand ourselves better, sure. But to then limit yourself by saying that you're only one way because you have this personality trait is the problem. And I did that for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I actually constructed my entire life with limiting
beliefs.
Perhaps
those things come up to remind you that you're not. Yeah. And maybe it's to remind the person that is like, maybe because I had it come up for myself very recently where somebody was making, I don't want to call it a judgment, but like an assessment of who I am, because what's happened over the last 6-7 years is I've actually softened a lot. Yeah.
You become submissive in a way that you never existed at all.
I've become more feminine. Yeah. That's what I would say. I would say that I'm not steeped in this very masculine.
All the misogyny of being a lady, a black power woman.
So somebody was well, it comes in different forms. And I think that piece has always been in me, because the reality is like, I've always been somebody who doesn't enjoy being in the limelight, does not want to be like front and center. Like even as you're waxing eloquent about me, I'm like shy about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to edit all of this. Like I'm in resistance of accepting the compliment, but somebody had made an assessment that I was like fragile, and I'm glad they did, because hang on. I'm glad they did. You have to remember where I am. I'm in Nigeria.
True. But I wouldn't describe
so
you as fragile.
It presents
That's
very
the furthest
different.
Thing I would describe you as.
Right? And so when they said it, I didn't get defensive, but I got energetically defensive. Yeah. So this morning when I was thinking about it, I'm like, okay, why did you have that response? Yeah. And I wanted to be defensive about it, right? I wanted to be like, well, hey, prove all the reasons why I'm not fragile. Yeah. But in my mind, I'm like, but you don't need to. You've already shown that you're not.
I love that.
Just because I don't present in the way that people would expect somebody who is strong. And I think there's actually far more benefit in being strong and flexible. Yeah. Because I would say to Anthony, when he would come real rigid with an idea, I'm like, you know what happens to that tree that doesn't bend with the wind? They just break. Their roots get actually ripped right out of the earth. And I said, so it's much better for you in this life to learn how to be strong and flexible with what life presents. So my whole point in all of that was to say, sometimes maybe those conversations come up to test how you feel about yourself.
Yeah. How was it being married for 20 years to somebody who was a rigid tree that didn't bend? How was that for you?
Okay. Well, the ex-husband that I knew, because I often say to people, I'm like, I don't know who he is in an intimate way today. Yeah. So I allow space for the fact that as much as I have grown, he has likely grown in large degree as well. And what I would say is that Mike and I were very young.
Yeah.
And I don't know that either one of us had an example of the type of relationship that at our core, we were seeking for ourselves. And what I mean when I say that is I had my parents who are still married to this day, 40 plus years. They're in love. Everybody knows it. It's a beautiful thing to watch, but very, very traditional, very, very traditional, and very steeped in gender roles, which is beautiful. On one hand, and Mike's upbringing wasn't quite the same, right? His parents did not have that experience. And so Mike didn't witness that. So when you have two people, and we just weren't mature enough to figure out how to like make that work. Because really, how we generally operate in relationship is what's been modeled for us and what we experience. And so the fact that maybe at that time, Mike wasn't as strong and flexible as one might like, that's okay. You know, that's his journey. Yeah. And I'm grateful for the experience. I'm grateful we had four kids. I obviously don't regret having the experience. Mike and I had a lot of fun together, you know, for 20 some odd years. And that chapter is closed. Yeah. And, you know, we've both moved on and we still maintain this deep friendship and mutual respect for each other. And that's what I love you guys about are at that us. Place.
That's really cool.
So glad. Yeah,
it took a long time.
So to me, that speaks to such a maturity and a respect for, no, you know, it was it didn't take a long time. The truth is that it was always there. And what I mean is, yes, we would argue and we would disagree. And yes, there were hurt feelings, but underneath all of that, that's fluffery. Underneath all of that, because if that didn't exist, we would never, like, there was no difficulty aside from the emotional one, but there was, in terms of like the breakdown of the relationship, there was never any flame. Okay, let's put it this way. If he was flaying my name in the street, yeah. I didn't really hear yeah, about no. it. I certainly was not, you know, lambasting him in the street.
And that's the point. To honor that at that time either. So I think that's cool that you, you never let that be a thing, especially where raising your children and having that experience together was concerned.
I've seen too much of the effect of what that looks like for people when you can't get along for the sake of your kids. And it's heartbreaking to watch. Yeah. It's awkward for everybody involved. And we were getting along great. Yeah. And it was awkward for everyone involved. We would be at parties together and people would be like, we're not sure what went wrong here. You guys are like really great friends.
Totally. Whose team are we on? Yeah. And it's like,
like you're on both of our teams. Like, why do you got to pick? We're not making you pick. Why are you feeling? And that was what was really interesting to me is so I pose it to you. Why was it difficult for people to witness two people who no longer aligned in a romantic relationship sense? Why was it so difficult for people to just support that we didn't want that? Like, it was really challenging for people to be like,
let me say the why. For me, it was because you guys were the archetype of what we were all supposed to be going towards. You know what I mean? Like, you guys started out so young, and for all of us that were young behind you, we were just like, okay, that's where we're going to get married. We're going to have kids. We're going to have this life. We're going to buy a house. We're going to build a business or several, and watching you guys do all the steps and stuff like that, when it came to crumbling, and we were just like, well, excuse me, bitch, you are the
archetype. That wasn't in the story.
This was not what we were expecting here. And for me, because I got to see it from a different perspective, because I'm obviously Mike's my cousin, but I'm super team Sharuti. It was like, I had to pick a side. I was like, nope. Okay, well, I'm going to pick this side. And I firmly stayed there. And I think all of us did. And the reason is because we had to, right? It was like, your allegiance is going to be to who has supported you and uplifted you and made you feel strong too in your weakest moments. And I think that's why it was so hard, because it was like, we love both of you guys. You're the power that you were together. Also, the two becoming one thing, when you see somebody as one unit and you see a person as the other person too, like Mike and Charisse or whatever, that whole vibe, that was so many years of our life, and honoring that, like, it was very hard to let that go. I think for myself, it took me at least 2 years, like, for real.
It was ridiculous. Like, it was probably what made it so challenging is our family was fine.
Yeah.
Like, the kids were fine. Mike and I were fine.
Like, your kids were very well adjusted.
Friends, family. Like, it was just like, yo, guys, like, seriously, like, it's really okay. Like, it's not that deep, but it was like, you guys really struggled.
we all did. It was hard. I believe it. I honestly believe it in my whole heart. It was hard for all of us because we were just like my brother, my everybody, my sister. We were all like, what are we doing? Like, where are we going? You know,
but we didn't make you pick. And no, that was the point. No. Cause I would definitely have people asking me and I was like, you don't have to pick. Like, why do you think you have to? You don't have to. You can have both of us. You can invite both of us. We'll both come.
Let's be honest, in our adult life, because of the way that time works in our mental, all of us have probably witnessed when we were younger, adults getting divorced and getting separated and families splitting up. But in our adult life, in the microcosm that was our bubble, seeing it as an adult, like, and living through it and experiencing it and watching you guys grow and morph out of it, and now seeing you in your Nigerian life and different whole every single thing, you realize how many different lives you get to live within your life. And I think the thing that is most beautiful to see, even though you're honoring that part of my journey and seeing my second life and my third life from the perspective of somebody who's gotten to witness me from childhood until now, you've gotten to see three generations of myself or iterations of myself. And I've gotten to see those same three iterations of you come through as different versions of Shruti. And each one is powerful and beautiful. But I do honor the fact that this version of you is much softer and so much more malleable. And it's nicer to talk to you because it was almost like we would have an adversarial conversation every time we would talk. It was like a debate. You know, we'd have two standpoints and we're both standing firmly on either side and we're debating. Every time we get together, it was like I was prepared for a debate because we're going to have that kind of conversation. We're going to have that honor, that part of ourselves is going to definitely have a difference in opinion. But now it's different talking to you. I think me too. I'm sure it's very different talking to me because we're nicer people. It's much easier to talk to somebody who is an easier person, you know, and we are just easier to deal with.
I think that a lot of that, though, is realizing that I still have very strong ideas.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that the biggest difference is that I'm trying to figure out a way to say this so that doesn't – I'm evolving. I've spent the last 6-7 years doing like a massive transformation of self. And so the person I am today is not even like the person I was a year ago. And the biggest change in that, honestly, has been Nigeria. Because the truth of the matter is like, you know, I came in here, I'm going to be very real. I came in here with my rosy colored glasses, which are still there. I still have rosy glasses, but it was rosy glasses that were colored by a perspective that was about this big, this wide.
Very myopic.
Right? I had blinders on. Yeah. Very myopic. I had large blinders on. So there was a lot in my peripheral that I missed. And what I mean when I say that is that I had the privilege of living in North America. I had the privilege of growing up there. I had the privilege, and all of those are beautiful privileges. And it took a little while for me to understand. Like, I literally came here with the idea of, I'm going to make it better. Okay, well, who says it's better? Number one. Number two, who says that people here want it to be better? And I'm saying that in quotation marks. Yeah. And number three, all that I really actually have determined that I am going to do for myself and whatever the overflow of that is just be me, just walk in what I am in my core, which is somebody like who just wants to love humanity, period. It's just that simple. And this environment tries to talk me out of it every day. So here's where I stand, very grounded and very rooted in who I am. Trust me, this environment literally every single day wants to convince me of something different. Every single day. They want to convince me of how terrible they are. And even when I say that, what I'm saying is sure, you might make terrible choices or choices that hurt you, but that's because you're so steeped in your own suffering, your own hurt, your own pain, your own whatever. Like, people don't, if you think about babies aren't born and come out just wicked and decide that they're going to do terrible things in life. Babies don't do that. We learn those things through the experiences that we have and the coping mechanisms that we learn or the environments that we're surrounded by. So I would say to people, the only difference between me and a Nigerian. And this is just very simple. And I don't mean to make it basic, but it's circumstance of birth in terms of where. That's all that I mean. So where, time, cultural norms, environment, so on and so forth. But really at base, we all want the same thing, which is love, respect, belonging, a sense of fulfillment, and purpose. And once you take care of those physical things, food, clothing, shelter, water, that's really, because even if you had all those things, if you had all the food and all the clothing and all the shelter and all that stuff, then what's next? You're still going to want love, acceptance, belonging, a sense of fulfillment and purpose. So Nigeria has taught me that you got to meet people where they are. True. Period.
Very true.
You can't stand, I'm not going to argue with you about anything at all. I'm just going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to model. I'm going to exemplify. I'm just going to show you. And if you want to learn because you like the way that I'm presenting myself, then I'm happy to share it with you. If you don't want to learn and you're truly fulfilled by the way you're doing it, hey man, do you. I'm not going to make a judgment about it. We're all here for a journey. So I'm going to live mine. So that is what has actually softened me. Believe it or not, Nigeria has softened me.
Well, I mean, if anything's going to, and I would say very much the same thing that Cayman has done that for me, because this is the kind of environment where they say, like, you know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, because super cutthroat. And like, if we were talking about corruption in both environments, we're living in probably the two singularly most corrupt places on earth, which I think is really, yeah, really interesting.
It's true.
Very much so. And I always make the comparison because I've experienced Nigeria myself. And as a Nigerian, I would say, like, my people are very hard, but I think
resilient.
I think any Africans in the diaspora, so Caribbean people, anybody who's been through it and understands tertiary or third world ideology understands that the struggle is real, right? And so coming into any third world environment with a first world mental, which we definitely did, we think we can fix or correct or, you know, right the ship or right the things that are wrong and use our social justice warrior vibes to correct those things. But a lot of people don't want correcting. A lot of environments don't need our correction. They need our direction. You know what I mean? And so I think it's very cool to get to experience seeing you and myself and all of us kind of grow in the way that we realize that our upbringing or the safety of the place in which we were brought up in allowed us the ability to see the world differently than other people do. And a lot more like with a lot cleaner of a heart, you know, we're not walking into a situation believing that somebody is like that you're dealing with is going to have a fake wife and a fake home and a fake this and fake contracts and fake paperwork and do all of the duplicitous stuff that it would take to con you out of money. But there is people in the world that definitely do it on a daily basis and you have to be so conscious of it. But then that part of it makes your heart steely. You know, it makes you be like, I don't have any friends, right? Like, and people will always say to me, like, oh, you used to have so many friends. What do you mean? You're the most popular person I know. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, when I say that, I have friends like you and Tabitha and Jessica and stuff like that, but I don't have friends and I don't need them. I realized, like, I made a post the other day and I was really serious. Like, I realized in my life that I knew a lot of people. I didn't have a lot of friends. And, you know, in my old belief system, I used to believe that I had a lot of friends and I would do the most for everybody, thinking that by martyring myself, I was somehow helping and also taking the view off of me. Like, I could be like, well, you know, I was so busy helping Sharice that I didn't have a chance to eat right. I was so busy doing this that I didn't have a chance to work out. I was so busy helping Jessica that I didn't have a chance to do this. And that's why I don't take care of myself. And the reason why I do this is because you guys need me. You know, and needing to be needed was so important that I didn't take care of myself, you know. And as I sort of learned the self-love ideology, I realized, like, you know, I used to think you were really selfish. You know, and I would say that to you because I think a lot of people think that mothers are supposed to stay where their kids are and be there for 100% and martyr themselves to death like my mom did and do all the things so that you can prove that your motherhood and your womanhood and the virtues of a woman is that you're supposed to martyr yourself to death. And I remember thinking to myself, Teresa's just so selfish. Like, she should just settle down. Like, why is she not more calm? Like, what what's wrong with her? She has all this perfection in her life. Like everything's so good. I'm like here thinking.
Thank
myself,
you for being very honest, because I think that there's probably a few people who have thought that and not said it.
Oh, yeah.
But I could feel it. I could feel the judgment. Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a, I don't even think I was standing in a place of judgment, because I've been so selfish in my own life. Like standing back and actually looking at myself now, I have been selfish in so many areas of my life for so many years of my life that the consciousness of knowing that I was that person, understanding what that actually meant. And how my staff is going to start coming in now. So you might hear a little bit of background noise. I apologize. But I didn't realize how selfish I was, right? I didn't understand myself very well at all. And so coming to the realization that like me thinking that you were selfish was me not wanting you to get out of your box, not wanting you to leave, not wanting you to move away. If I wasn't moving away, then why would you be moving away? You know what I mean? And if I'm moving away, then I shouldn't even, I was never worried about the fact that it hurt your feelings that I left you. Right? I'm only concerned about the fact that you're moving away from me. Good morning, Gordon. Love you.
You know, you're saying something that I often say to people, right? And on one of my podcasts, Anthony and I talk about this, and it's about asking ourselves better questions to understand ourselves better when these things do come up. So for example, you talk about having this idea. We're just going to use it as an example here. Like, let's say it upset you when you realized like I was traveling and so on and so forth, and like, you know, making this assessment or judgment, like, oh my gosh, that girl is so selfish. Like she's got all them babies and she's just flitting all over the world.
What
yeah, exactly. Like, what is she doing? And I read in,
not allowed to move to Calgary.
Right? Like, what, she's supposed to stay in Edmonton. Exactly. Yeah. She's supposed to stay put and martyr herself for those four babies, forget what they're doing with their lives, forget that they're adults, forget that they're literally outliving their own lives. She is supposed to just sit there and wait. That is what she's supposed to do. And I had seen enough examples where that was.
You're not performing the way that we thought you were supposed to perform, Therese. And so. Yeah, that was the thought process. And because you were everybody's cornerstone, like you were like the matriarch of all of us in our younger years, like that way, I think for like, I'm sure your sister had the same reaction, probably even more visceral, more venomous, more angry, or probably your friends, same thing. Your besties probably treated you like a shit. I literally, as I changed and became more selfish, every single one of my friends hates me. Like I'm telling you. They hate me. Even I realized in my interactions with my like my friends I haven't seen for a long time, they don't knew me doesn't align with what they're used to, right?
And that was a tough one. I won't lie. That one has been tough. And that one that could be for many reasons. And I'm not gonna suppose why those relationships have morphed, but they have all morphed. Yeah. And so I'm just going to, all that I'm going to say about that.
They don't
that.
Like the choices that you made. And because they don't like the choices that you made, they have chosen. First, they did the, I'm going to say this because I experienced it, but I experienced seeing it from the inside of people judging you. And you've experienced seeing people judge me and listening to those conversations and seeing it from the other side where people are like, what is Monica doing? Why is she doing that? And having those conversations with you. And I know they have. And I have had people have the same conversation. Why is Therese with this Nigerian guy? He's scamming her. He's this, he's that, blah, blah. She's getting robbed. Her life is going to be over. Right. I've had all those conversations with people calling me, being like, fix it. Call her. Get her to come home. You know, like I went through all of this shit, right? And you just really steadied yourself and like you stand on business. You know, you were like, no, I'm going to just go forward. And we were all like, she's crazy. She's under OBL. Like she's going to, like somebody's going to cut out her organs and leave her in a bathtub in Nigeria somewhere. Like something's wrong, right? Like we all had that conversation and it was like, we need to go save Greece. But I'm sure you had the same conversation when I was like, I'm moving to Africa and I'm going to go get married and I'm going to adopt a kid and I'm going to live there and whatever. Everybody has done shit in their life where the people that are around them absolutely object. And once they stop objecting, they remove themselves, right? So once the manipulation of being able to talk you out of your situation or guilt you into believing that you don't deserve whatever it is you're going for, once the devil stops working like that, he will just remove people. Like the either God will remove people from your life so that you're less distracted from the purpose that he's driving you towards, or the devil will put people in your path to try and keep you distracted so you never go towards what you want, right? And the same can be said for how God removes people from your life, and so does the devil. when I started to lose weight, all those very same people that were at my hospital bed and pretending to be my besties and all that shit, standing in my wedding, all their shit, they all fucked off the more successful I became. So the more money I made and the prettier I became and the more popular I became, the less liked by the people that were supposed to love me I became. And I didn't understand it. And the thing is, if I hadn't gone to therapy before I did my surgery, I would have believed all of the things that these people now say about me. And I would have taken ownership of all of that stuff and believed that I'm a bad mm-hmm. person because I am successful and thinner and happy and have a successful marriage and I'm doing very well for myself, right? So because I am in living in the 1% of people now that is financially stable and has a good marriage and has a husband who loves me and would never cheat on me and all of these things, I have zero friends because the amount of women who are also living that experience is so few that I don't have anybody to relate to anymore. Right?
So, you know what you do? I recognize that my circle was getting real small. You know, literally, like even when I would go back to Edmonton, I would see your sister. I would see my sister. I would see my family and I would see Kim. And that was like about it. That was, those were the people that I would see. And then I started to like growing the circle a little bit, but in Calgary, but I also recognized that like I was cocooning. I know I was cocooning and I also learned that I'm like more of an introvert than I am an extrovert. I like my energy very well and I feel very clearly like as much as I wear rosy colored glasses and I want to love and light the world to death, I need to guard this vessel of my own energy very, very well. And so I don't like to have that all rub off on me, if that is making sense, right? It is energetically exhausting. Being around people, too many people, right? So I am in a lot of ways very, very, very comfortable in a very small circle. But when I was ready, and this is the power of manifesting, I shit you not, I think it was February this year, I said, okay, God, you know what? I'm like ready for you to like bring more people into my life who are like me. And like vibe on like the things that I vibe on and like understand the verbiage that I am using. Put that out there. I shit you not. 2 months later, I go to the yoga studio. I walk around the corner and this lady says, hi, I'm a Buddhist. Never had anybody introduce me to themselves.
Like by their religious connotations. That's hilarious.
But my point hi, I'm being a Christian. Like, no, yeah, exactly. So in other words, and I think the reason why, especially in this environment, is because it's this environment is heavily Christian or heavily Muslim, both very, we'll say, yeah, very, 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 yeah, exactly. There's no gray area. So the reason why having somebody introduce me to themselves as a Buddhist just means like, it's a beacon of light.
I'm
it's
really
like,
hey, you can open. Talk.
Yeah. Yeah, talk exactly. Exactly. So my point in that being is for you, you can just ask, can I have more people come into my life that are like me on my vibe, on my level? And I don't mean that in a better or worse than way. I just mean that understand me or will yeah. understand me.
Well, that's the thing, right? When I asked God to send me a friend, he just removed all those people from my life and he actually sent me myself, right? And this is the interesting thing. I had spent so many years trying to be everything to everybody so I wouldn't be alone with myself, that God really needed to give me this season to give me myself back and also allow me to love dating myself, being alone with myself, my own thoughts, and realizing that they're not negative, they're powerful, and that I shouldn't yes. be scared to be alone with my own thoughts, you know what I mean? And be alone by myself and enjoy my own time and date myself and learn to love that. Yeah. That I had to learn to build that love within myself. And so now I'm super hyper conscious of it, but I'm also so ready for that that part of my life where I don't have to work as hard. Because right now I work 7 days a week. I work from 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm here. I leave my house at 5 a.m., go to the gym at work from 6. First client's in at 6:30, 6 o'clock most of the time. And I work till 6 o'clock in the evening every day. And you know, I've always been a hard worker, but the more successful I get, the more time I have to mark out for myself. So as soon as I leave work today, I had a cancellation in the afternoon. I blocked myself off from 3 o'clock. I'm going home. I'm going immediately to sleep. Like when I tell you that I'm going to be in my bed, until the next day because I'm going to the gym. I am going to relax and enjoy this afternoon, but I would never do that before. You know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah. I've got to take in an extra client. There's three people on the wait list that have been waiting for over a week. I have 186 people on my wait list. I have 5,000 clients. I can't service everybody the way they want to be serviced. I can't give everybody everything they want. And I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with where I'm at in this part of my life too, where I'm so comfortable with being me that I'm okay with the fact that people don't like it. And
that's very okay. Yeah.
I never used to be that. I was so uncomfortable with people not liking me. You know, I would get anxiety. I'd have sleepless nights trying to figure out how to fix it, you know, but not really fix myself, just fix the situation socially so that they didn't like me.
So they weren't uncomfortable. It had nothing to do with like fixing it really at its core. It's just so that it's not an uncomfortable situation.
100%.
What did somebody say that is? Like, learning. It's like maybe a little bit like spiritual bypassing, like avoidance or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I think that, you know, your entire journey really has been quite inspiring from start to finish. And I'm curious what's next. You've done a lot in the last couple of years. The last couple of years have been like on warp speed.
Oh my God.
What's next?
Okay. So we're about to open another business. My husband and I, we're opening two actually. So right now we own the beauty bar, which is my salon that I opened in 2021. What I'm hoping for is that right now we're about to open a car rental company. So we've just purchased a whole bunch of cars and we're about to open a car rental company. And we're also opening a landscaping and janitorial business here. So on top of the business that we're currently running, which is extremely successful, I mean, I actually, one of the things I wanted to share with you that was such a blessing this year, three things, is that I actually was honored here and I was turned into a memorialized portrait here during Cayman Art Week twice. Two different artists chose me as their muse and did giant.
I saw it on Instagram.
So cool. Hugely amazing. And I was honored as one of the like influencers, like artist influencers in Cayman who are changing the Cayman landscape and are influencing Cayman society as artists. And I thought that was amazing. And also I've been able to start an apprenticeship program where I'm starting to take in young Caymanians and start to teach them. And like, obviously, because the way the work permit situation is in the Cayman Islands, there's only so many things you can do underneath certain like legal stuff here. So being able to actually teach SciFex students and students through the Cayman Islands like certification program, they're starting to get into labor field jobs here, like apprenticeship program type of jobs, journeyman programs and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get more into that. And I've also walked in Cayman Fashion Week this year. I got to walk on the runway, not just work on the models, but be a model, which is phenomenal. And if anybody knows, you know. So it's been, this year has been really cathartic for me in terms of growth and change and also doing things that I never thought I would do and stretching myself in terms of my confidence level and really understanding what true confidence is as opposed to the bravado and showiness of who I used to be, which was all fake and a lot of bluster. And it wasn't a lot. I was filibustering or whatever the hell you call that, that thing. I was doing a lot of that all over the place and it was too much, you know what I mean? And so now I'm a lot more centered, a lot more focused. I use my ADHD to bless other people, you know what I mean? So it gives me the energy that I'm pretty sure most people don't exist in that plane of having. And I am so excited. I actually started to write my curly hair Bible. So I'm writing a new book.
Congratulations.
Yes, I started to do it and I am taking some time to do it. So I'm going to work on it through this year because I want to do a lot of like filming attached to it. So I want to film segments and do training program videos as well. And then I'd like to sell my program and start to teach it internationally and start to focus a little bit like that. So right now my staff is amazing. So I have like two of the greatest employees ever, actually three. In my shop, and I feel like I'll be able to take some time away from being 100% full-time behind the chair and start to focus on actually training other people and doing an advanced training program here and getting to train the women who have mixed race children and curly hair children how to do the hair, because I think a lot of people are missing that in their experience of their whole lifetime of actually having somebody sit down and teach them about their hair and how to do it. So my goals have morphed a lot over the last few years. I really thought motherhood was going to be in the picture for me in terms of like having a baby. We tried to do IVF last year and we were unsuccessful. So I took a break from that because it was a lot of hormonal changes. And at my age, girl, I need my titties to be okay. I need my body to just be normal. And I also want to experience not having loose skin. So for me, like the idea of going through a little bit of surgical intervention and getting skin tightening or any of those other things can't happen until the baby's off the table, because I'm not going back to having stretched skin after we take out the stretch, bitch. It ain't going down. So I am really excited about what this year means for me in terms of business and getting the acumen. I was actually nominated for one of Cayman's best businesses in the hair salon category. Out of 300 hair salons, we made it into the top 10 this year. And as a new business, existing for as long as I have here and having a business to this scale, what I'm doing in Cayman is unheard of. So I'm really excited about forging new and unpaved roads here and doing things that are different. I'm the only curly hair specialist on the island, the only master stylist here that does everything. So I think I'm living a rare air, and I'm really excited to be able to share that with you. I'm also hoping that we can do another podcast together so we can actually get into all the things we didn't get into today. Because, bitch, like, we didn't even touch the surface.
I'm glad you know that we barely, like, actually talked about anything.
We didn't do anything. We just had a regular conversation like we would talk to each other on the phone. We have so many things to talk about.
I'm still going to publish it because I think that there's a lot of good stuff in here. So I think one of the most valuable things about you, Monica, is that you're so relatable, right? Like you, what was the first thing you said to me? You're like, am I allowed to swear? Because I swear like a trucker. I'm like, well, me too. So I mean, at the end of the day, like I got a verifiable potty mouth.
Yeah.
And I always have had a verifiable potty. I've been cussing since I was 9.
So. Right. I couldn't do live radio. Like they could never have me on like Power 92 or whatever, because I would ruin their show.
Yeah, because you'd be swearing. I mean, I'm being very good right now, but normally I am like in my very real life, I am very bad with swearing. I don't think it's a bad thing.
You know,
it's just a word.
It's so true. I actually did a few different like live like TV shows and stuff and came on like after like my transformation has made it onto TV and radio shows and stuff here over the last few years, and they actually have a commercial that they created with the hospital here that I did my surgery at, and they play it every day in the movie theaters and stuff. Before they play the movie, they film my transformation. So I get to go on like TV radio shows and talk about my journey and transformation, and sometimes when I'm on there I have to really be so conscious, like, and especially on the morning radio shows and stuff, like to not swear, because I am so natural with my affect that they all want me on the show, but they're also like, you can't say shit, you can't say, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to swear at you. Like, I'm guaranteed, now you told me I can't, I'm guaranteed I'm going to swear at you. I apologize in advance because
what's so crazy is you're talking about all the things that you've been doing. It just like hit me like an epiphany. So here's you're describing, like, you know, sometimes when you're talking to people and you're like, I see the life in my mind that I'm supposed to live. Like you can see it, right? And forever, for as long as I've known you, you have always talked about being famous, and fame is not at all what I ever wanted. Like, it was like, I'll take all the financial blessings that come along with it, but do not make me famous. Hey, I'm taking that back. Universe, clear, cancel, release. I am very okay with being known if it will help people.
Yeah.
If yes, exactly. If it will help people. But what I was just dawning on me, I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl was totally seeing her life as it was meant to be, like 20, 25 years ago.
Totally.
And you, because you always were talking about how you're supposed to be famous. You're supposed to be famous.
I didn't know what for though.
I didn't
exactly.
know.
I thought it was, I was just going to say that.
I just knew I was supposed to be famous for being me. You know, I didn't.
But you are being famous for being you. But you thought it was going to be like singing or acting or because you were like, that's the road you were going down. But 100%. You could have never conceptualized Seek God's plan. Do you see? Do you see? And that's why the journey has been so beautiful.
You're
that's
absolutely
okay.
Right.
The journey's been, it's okay.
You know, what freaks me out of what you just said is that every single day, all I think about is the fact that this is so crazy that I'm living the life that I thought I was going to have 20 years ago. I thought that I was supposed to have this experience 20 years ago. And I told my husband the other day, I said, baby, I'm living my dreams right now.
I know. I know. And it's kind of crazy because like, even in my own experience, like there have been things that have been happening this year that I'm like, and you have to be careful with your thoughts around this, right? But like things have started happening and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like you're manifesting, you're putting the energy out there, right? For sure. You're putting it out there, but then it starts coming back to you and you're like, you have to be careful. I read this in a book, and the reason why I'm saying you have to be careful is like when you start to have disbelief around it, then it's almost like you undo all the goodness that's coming because you're like, okay, well, you don't believe it. So I may as well so you want to go back to that clearly, right? So what I'm working on is like even something as simple as accepting a compliment. Thank you. And just knowing like, thank you, I deserve it. Thank you, I deserve it. So thank you for the house, I deserve it. Thank you for this, I deserve it. So yes,
I love you. We're doing this again.
Yes, we will.
We're doing this again.
Thank you so much for being a guest today on your collective.
Oh, Trudy.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm honored to be on your show.
Don't worry. We're going to do it again.
Oh no. Trudy, can I ask you something?
Yes.
I want to do it on air so we can legitimize this. Yeah. When are you inviting me to Nigeria to come and stay in your house and eat your food?
Okay, well, how about I talk to the kids about later this year? So, how about you come after that? Okay, because then
I'm
can
totally
make sure.
Down. I'm inviting myself.
I did invite your sister. You know what? The truth is I did invite your sister as well because she wanted to come. And I said, okay, we should absolutely do this when I'm here. Don't pick a time when I'm not here. So, yes, let's do it. You may come, you may stay here. I will make sure that you're well fed and we will have nothing but fun.
I need a driver. Oh my God. I'm so excited. Yes. Okay, I'm coming. Ooh, I'm going to have so much fun.
Well, I'm here. I love you too. Thank you.
You're a queen. You're a goddess.
So are you.
I'm so proud of you.
You always
knew element of yourself. This right here. This is what I expected from you. So this is manifestation on a lot of levels for both of us. And I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
I just want to tell you how much. And I am just like in awe of you as usual. And keep doing what you're doing. And also, I can't wait to be invited back on your show, bitch.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. I love you.
I will.
Okay.
God bless you, Rudy.
Same to you, baby. Thank you all for joining me and Monica today as she shared her story and her journey. It's my sincere hope that for those of you that are listening, that you can see how a simple shift, well, maybe not a simple shift, but how once we begin to shift our perspective on our experience with life, how we can have astounding change, remarkable, significant change in the experiences that we are engaged in. So if you enjoyed today's content, please feel free to subscribe either from Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you have any feedback or any questions, please feel free to reach out to me at Sherise@yourcollective.ca. Sherise@yourcollective.ca. Until next time, take care.